Take your Bible, please, and find 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A pastor was meeting with the official board of his church, and they were reviewing the membership roll, looking at individual names, and beside a number of names on this church roll were the initials FBPO. And the members of the board were curious as to what those initials FBPO stood for, and finally their curiosity got the better of them, and they asked the pastor, and he said, FBPO stands for burial purposes only. Well, it's tragically true that in most churches, there are some members who are there for burial purposes only. And perhaps the next time they come into the church house will be when they're rolled in on a casket for their funeral. Thankfully, there aren't too many like that at Lakeview, but still a few. Unfortunately, one is too many. And some church members believe that the reason that God saved them was just to go to heaven. Now, it makes sense if the only reason by which God has saved us, or the only reason for which God has saved us, is to take us to heaven, then the next event after trusting Jesus for our eternal salvation would be that we would immediately be translated to heaven. But that hasn't taken place. God has left us here in this world for a reason. And among other purposes, we are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to serve Him and His church. In fact, the Scripture teaches, 1 Corinthians 12 teaches, that you and I have been gifted for ministry. And so today I want you to think with me about this theme, gifted for ministry. Now, today we're going to go back to the basics. Back to the foundations, back to the fundamentals. And for most of you, the things that I share today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are not new at all. They are things that we have known and studied for a long time. But for some of you, perhaps some of you who are new believers, or perhaps some of you who are new to our church, the truths that we want to look at this morning will be a revelation of God's truth to you. And I pray that they will be to you a source of encouragement and motivation to be everything that Jesus has saved you and gifted you to be for His sake. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are a number of foundational principles which are given to us that spell out for us how we are to function in the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for this particular service, I want us to identify only five of those foundational principles which relate to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very, very foundational for our place of ministry in the church. Now, I'm going to elaborate on this over the next few Sundays and say a whole lot more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But let me just give you a quick, simple definition of a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a supernatural, God-given ability for ministry in the body of Christ. And that'll just be our quick working definition as we think about being gifted for ministry. Now, let me just give these principles to you as they are found in the Word of God. The first principle is this: every believer has a spiritual gift or gifts. Every Christian, every son or daughter of God has at least one spiritual gift. And quite frankly, I understand the Scriptures to teach that we have a plurality of spiritual gifts. Now, we find this taught in verse 7. So look in verse 7. And there we read, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Now, the manifestation of the Spirit is simply another way of saying the spiritual gifts which God imparts to His people. And the Scripture makes it quite clear here that every one of us is a recipient of a spiritual gift. If you belong to Jesus, you have been gifted by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I believe the New Testament teaches that these spiritual gifts are given to us at the moment of spiritual birth. When a sinner comes to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, many wonderful things happen instantaneously. And among those, we become the recipients of a spiritual gift. Now, that spiritual gift may lie unused. It may be dormant for many, many years before you recognize your giftedness and begin to use your giftedness for the glory of God. But nevertheless, I believe the gifts of the Spirit are given at the moment of our conversion when we come to trust Christ as our Savior. And as verse 7 plainly says, every Christian has a manifestation of the Spirit. Every believer is gifted. In God's family, no one person, not even one, is left out. That being the case, every one of us is important to God, and every one of us is important to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, no Christian should look down upon himself and say, I'm nothing, I'm insignificant, I can't do anything in the church, because God says you've been gifted. And to look down upon yourself is not an act of humility. At best, it's an act of being undiscerning. And maybe it's an act of being ungrateful for what God has done for you by giving you these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, never say, I'm a nobody. But instead, say in affirmation with the clear teaching of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I am a child of God, gifted by the Holy Spirit of God. So the first principle, every believer has a spiritual gift or gifts. The second principle is this, the gifts of the Spirit are varied and different. These spiritual gifts are quite diverse. And that's the way God designed it. We see this in chapter 12, verses 4 and 5 and 6. So look with me in verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts. Now notice that. But the same Spirit. Verse 5. There are different kinds of service. But the same Lord. There are different kinds of working. But the same God works all of them in all men. Now here in these verses, Paul affirms the variety of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Just as you and I are different in our physical appearance, just as you and I are different in our personalities, we are different in our spiritual giftedness. And the variety of spiritual giftedness in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is infinite. Because you see, there are these different gifts, spiritual gift mixes, and you put them together in different combinations, at least the Spirit of God does, and it just makes for incredible variety and diversity in the body of Christ. Now, we see this kind of diversity in our church orchestra. As we gather on Sunday and our orchestra plays to enhance our praise to God, we see this in this variety as we have different instruments. We have strings and we have brass and we have percussion. And it all comes together to make one great, glorious, harmonious sound. Now, it's all under the direction of our orchestra director, Larry Cornelius, and he does such an incredible job with our orchestra. But he pulls it all together. And it's not that we just hear strings or we just hear percussion or we just hear brass or whatever, but we hear it as one great harmonious whole. Now, every instrument in the orchestra is important. And every orchestra player is important. Perhaps some of those who have instruments that don't make a very loud sound might have a tendency to think, you know, what I do is not very important because I'm drowned out by some of these other instruments like the brass. But nevertheless, everyone is essential for the functioning of the sound that comes from the orchestra. Now, just as it takes many instruments to make harmony and many colors to make a painting, it takes many spiritual gifts for the body of Christ to function in a normal and healthy way. And there are a variety of gifts. Look again in verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts. Now, in verse 14, Paul says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many." And here we learn that Paul uses, throughout this chapter, Paul uses the metaphor of a human body to talk about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about the foot and the hand and the eye and the ear and the folly of the foot saying, because I'm not a hand, I'm not important, I'm not a part of the body. Every member of the human body is important, and every member of the body of Christ, as diverse as those members are, every member is important. And in verse 27 we read, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of the body. And our particular place in the body of Christ is determined by the gifting of the Holy Spirit, which has been imparted to each of us. Now there's a third truth, a third principle I want you to see with me in this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it is this. The Holy Spirit determines who gets what spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one who assigns the distribution of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ. Look in verse 11. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each man just as He determines. Now in verses 8, 9, and 10, Paul lists some of the gifts. It's not an exhaustive list. It's a partial list. Some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he says all of these, those that he's just listed, and others as well, are the work of the Spirit of God, and He, God the Holy Spirit, gives them as He determines. So your spiritual gift is determined by God. It's not something that you and I determine. God determines it. We don't choose what spiritual gift we have. God chooses. Now, there are some who have the idea that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the distribution of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's sort of like going through a cafeteria line. And you go and you say, I'll have some of this and some of this, but I sure don't want any of that. Now, that's not the way it works. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit sovereignly makes that choice. Therefore, it is our privilege and our responsibility to receive with gratitude from His hands that which He has given to us. We see it again in verse 18. Look in verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them just as He wanted them to be. And so the distribution of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is by divine dealing. Now, if that's the case, and it is, then there's no grounds for boasting. No one of us should ever say, well, look how gifted I am. I must be so much better than you. Because if it's a gift, it's God's doing, not yours. There's no grounds for bragging there. On the other hand, there's no grounds for envy. There's really no occasion to say, well, God, you gave somebody else something you didn't give me. Because if we criticize God's distribution of spiritual gifts to us, then in essence what we are doing is we are being discontent with God, and we are criticizing how God the Holy Spirit governs His church. So we just say, God, I receive what You've given to me. I receive it with gratitude and use it for Your glory. Now let me give you a fourth principle about spiritual gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The fourth principle is spiritual gifts are given to individuals for the good of all members of the body of Christ. These spiritual gifts come to us from God's hand, but it's not just for our personal edification. It's not just to build us up or make us feel important or whatever. The gifts of the Spirit are given for the good of every member of the body of Christ. Now we see this in verse 7. Look with me in verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That is, our spiritual gifts build up the church. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now we are edified in the process as we use our spiritual gifts. But they're given to build up the body of Christ. Therefore we need each other. And the hand shouldn't say to the foot, I don't need you. And the ear shouldn't say to the eye, I don't need you. Now, some members of the body of Christ are more visible than others. And some members, at least to most of the body of Christ, at least to most of the members of the church, are almost invisible. I mean, we heard a moment ago a wonderful testimony from Mickey Vance about her ministry in the food pantry. And there are a number of you who work in the food pantry week in and week out. It's not a very visible ministry. There are some of us that are much more visible to the church at large in our ministries. But that's a very important ministry. And it builds up the body and it's an outreach into the community. And so it's not a matter of whether you're visible or not, but it's a matter of using the gifts that God has given to you to serve others in the body of Christ. That's all a part of God's plan for us. And they're all essential. Everybody's important, significant. I read that some years ago in Argentina, there was a compulsory military service law. And everybody had to spend some time in the Argentine military. And I read that one young man was called up to the military, and when he reported for duty, he said, look, I need to be excused for military service. He said, I don't have any arms. And the officer looked at him and he said, you see that man on top of that hill up there pumping that water in that pail? He said, yes, sir. He said, you go up there and stand by him and you tell him when that pail of water's full. He said, that young man up there is blind. Well, it may be an extreme illustration, but it just simply goes to point out that none of us is omnicompetent in every area. And one member of the body of Christ, gifted in a particular area, would be very fruitful and very effective in that area, and somebody else in the body of Christ would be fruitful and effective in another area. We don't all have the same spiritual gift, and no one gift is given to every member of the body of Christ. But we all have gifts, and our gifts are to come together as members of the body of Christ, the one body of Christ, to build up one another. That means in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the following of Jesus as Lord and Master, there is no place for the attitude that says, I can go it alone. We need each other. We really can't go it alone. There's a story of a bricklayer who tried to go it alone. In fact, he tried to move 500 pounds of bricks from the top of a four-story building down to the sidewalk below. Instead of being wise and getting someone to help him, he tried to do it by himself. And, this is what he wrote to the insurance company when he filed a claim for medical coverage. He said, it would have taken too long to carry the bricks down by hand, so I decided to put them in a barrel and to lower them by a pulley, which I fastened to the top of the building. After tying the rope securely to the ground level, I then went up to the top of the building. I fastened the rope around the barrel, loaded it with bricks, and swung it over the sidewalk for the descent. Then I went down to the sidewalk and untied the rope, holding it securely to guide the barrel down slowly. But I did not realize it since I weigh only 140 pounds. The 500-pound load jerked me from the ground so fast that I didn't have time to think of letting go of the rope. As I passed between the second and third floor, I met the barrel coming down. This accounts for the bruises and lacerations of my upper body. I held tightly to the rope until I reached the top, where my hand became jammed in the pulley. This accounts for my broken thumb. At the same time, however, the barrel hit the sidewalk with a bang and the bottom fell out. With the weight of the bricks gone, the barrel only weighed 40 pounds. Thus, my 140-pound body began a swift descent. and I'm at the empty barrel coming up. This accounts for my broken ankle. Slowed only slightly, I continued the descent and landed on the pile of bricks. This accounts for my sprained back and broken collarbones. At this point, I lost my presence of mind completely and let go of the rope. The empty barrel came crashing down on me. This accounts for my head injury. As for the last question on your insurance form, what would you do if the same situation arose again? Please advise that I am finished trying to do the job all by myself. And so it is. Well, in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we try to serve by ourselves, we end up getting ourselves far overextended, far exhausted, and far, far away from where God wants us to be. We are members of His church, of His one body, and we are to function together, blessing others in Jesus' name, building up and edifying other members of the body of Christ. The wrong attitude is to ask, what's in it for me? The right attitude is to ask, what are my spiritual gifts and how may I use them for the glory of God? Let me give you a fifth and final principle found here about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number five, God wants every believer to know his or her spiritual gifts and to use them in ministry. Not only has God given us these gifts of the Spirit, but God wants us to be able to recognize and identify these spiritual gifts so that we may use them in ministry within His church. Now look in chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. God does not want us to be in the dark about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I must ask this question. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Because if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, you're probably going to find yourself either in ministry and very frustrated, or it may be that you're not in ministry at all. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is that supernatural ability which God gives to you, which gives you fulfillment and satisfaction and reward in doing the thing which God has called you to do. That's why it's so important that we understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God didn't want us to be ignorant about it. Let me give you just one more, a corollary reference in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And some of you will immediately recognize this as a scripture memory passage that we had some few years ago. Everything that Paul said to the Corinthian Christians, Peter is now saying here in 1 Peter chapter 4 about the gifts of the Spirit. Look in verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift of God's grace in your life, then the Scripture says, use that gift to serve others. And that's what God has called us to do. Now, just think with me for just a moment. What a difference it would make if every member of the church took seriously his gifting, her gifting from the Holy Spirit, and said to the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for gifting me to serve, and Lord, I'm available to use my spiritual gifts in whatever way you deem necessary for your glory. Sadly, tragically, far too often, folks are more than willing to let somebody else carry the load. One unknown poet wrote this, there's a clever young fella named Somebody Else. There's nothing this fella can't do. He's busy from morning till way late at night, just substituting for you. When asked to do this or asked to do that, so often you set to reply. Get somebody else, Mr. Chairman. He'll do it much better than I. There's so much to do in our parish, so much, and the workers are few. And somebody else gets weary and worn just substituting for you. So next time you're asked to do something worthwhile, come up with this honest reply. If somebody else can give time and support, it's obviously true, so can I. God has gifted us for ministry. And we bring great glory to the name of our God when we serve according to our spiritual giftedness. You see, the Church of the Living God is not a social, religious social organization where we just come together to congratulate ourselves and pat ourselves on the back and enjoy one another. But we are the body of Christ, and Christ Himself is the head of the body, and we are on a mission for God to declare the good news to all who will listen that a Savior has come, who is Christ the Lord. And we are to worship and follow and obey Him. Max Lucado has written that God has enlisted us in His Navy and has placed us on His ship. Lucado says the boat has one purpose, to carry us safely to the other shore. He writes, this is no cruise ship. It's a battleship. We aren't called to a life of leisure. We are called to a life of service. And each of us has a different task. Some concerned with those who are drowning or snatching people from the water. Others are occupied with the enemy so they man the cannons of prayer and worship. Still others devote themselves to the crew, feeding and training the crew members. Though different, we are the same. Each can tell of a personal encounter with the captain, for each has received a personal call. He found us among the shanties at the seaport and incited us to follow Him. Our faith was born at the sight of His fondness, and so we went. We each followed Him across the gangplank of His grace onto the same boat. There is one captain and one destination. And though the battle is fierce, the boat is safe, for our captain is God. And so He is. And as commander-in-chief of His army, then the Lord God Almighty has every right to give to us the gifts of His choosing and to assign to us the ministries of His choosing. And you and I have the incredible privilege, and it is a privilege, to say to the Lord Jesus, yes, Lord, I'll do what You call me to do. I'll use my gifts for Your glory. I'll be Your servant in the manner of Your choosing. Gifts of the Spirit for ministry. God, give us, and He has, and He will, the grace to follow carefully. Let's pray together.